Welcome to Africa's LSB podcast, your monthly podcast for the language services industry in Africa. We cover trends in translation, interpretation, localization, and language industry in general. This podcast is presented by Bilingual Communications and Media Council and hosted by the wonderful Adi Namaran Gulibali. If you want to give us your feedback or feature on the podcast, send us an email. The address is info@bilingualconsult.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Africa's LSP podcast. As you may be aware, this year we are only focusing on African languages. It's been a very interesting ride. We've had beautiful conversations with a number of language professionals in Africa. And today we're going to talk about Evigbe, the language spoken in Ghana, in West Africa. My guest for today is Nutifafa Feyi. She is an Evigbe language professional. She does a lot of work with the language. And I'm really excited to have her join us here to talk about not only the language, but also the culture of the language and to talk about the people that speak the language and any other initiatives that she knows about concerning this language. So you're welcome to Africa's LSP podcast.
Thank you, Adi. Thank you. I'm glad to be here on this show. Yeah.
Yes. So can you please introduce yourself and then also do that in Eve as well?
Okay. So my name is Nutifafa Feyi Yawa. Well, I'm a language professional. I am mainly into translations and transcribing and editing and all that. But I am also into training youngsters, bringing them up to appreciate their mother tongue, especially the Evigbe. Yeah, that's all I can say about myself for now. And I'm into a lot of initiatives with some friends just to promote and keep the Evigbe alive.
Thank you so much. We would want to hear you introduce yourself again, but this time in the language.
In Evigbe, okay. Yo, etodulao, unkonyenye, ngutifafa, peyi, yawa. Egbe gomedelae menye. Ne ele egbe ado de egbe bubu ome de emoji ye ne tibe miangre de enungongro me na ye ha me wona e ya ha me le agbe de moji ale be me na hehe de vio be wanya evegbe ahehane e doya kule bubu uge de o nye kule nye pe hati ado mie de tome le wawom be evegbe na da yiji magabu akpe.
Akpe, akpe also. Thank you so much. So I think it'll be very interesting for us to start with something about the history of the language. For instance, where was it spoken initially, if we have records on that, and maybe if there were any migration to other areas, and where it's spoken on the continent of Africa.
All right. So Ewe, as it is called, is a part of a cluster of related languages commonly called the Egbe languages. This is a general information you can find on the internet. And also, like many other African languages, it is tonal, and it is classified under the Niger-Congo family languages. However, some people in the diaspora have and are still searching into the origin of the Egbe. Continuing studies indicate that ancient Hebrew is the original Evigbe. And I have interacted with a couple of these researchers. Prominent amongst them is Seiram Ajanku. And she talks about these issues on her YouTube channel, Hebrew Ivory Ever the Black Man on YouTube. And her research findings point at the ancient Hebrew language as the original Evigbe. And according to her study, the ancient Hebraic cultures, the traditions, the language, the food, their clothing, their patterns, when they compare to the present day people and where we are settled, the cultures are similar, the foods are similar, the traditions are similar. And so I'm tempted to believe her study as the actual representation of where the Ewe people come from. And it is through migrations and moving around a lot that has brought us to the present location. And so there's a lot of misrepresentation currently ongoing all over. And until we get these researchers to organize forums, town hall meetings for us, we would really not be well educated on where we come from. Seram is not the only person doing such studies. There is Aaron Barak Wheeler on Facebook. There is Robert D. Smith also on Facebook, amongst other people who also take their researches from the biblical point of view, saying that the Ewe people, like the whole thing about the Bible stories and all those is a history about the Ewe people. And so their study is pointing us back to the Bible days, the cultures, the names, sand landmarks, all tell us that the Ewe people are the people of creation. Their claim is that the Ewe language is the language of creation. So from all I have read and all I have listened to, I'm thinking and believing that the Ewe language has its origin way back in the Hebrew lands and the Hebrew culture and history. Yeah, some of these people have mentioned their names. Their works are on Facebook. And so yourself and our listeners can check them out and see for themselves so that this knowledge would go far and wide. And something else I'd like to add to this is that the language used to be captured in pictographs, according to the researchers of Seram and Aaron Barak Wheeler and Robert D. Smith and others. They said the pictographs was how our forefathers used to capture what they say, their thoughts. And these precede the current writing systems that we have. Now we are able to write in the Latin alphabets, Latin characters, but we used to use pictures to write down what happened, what we're going to do and all of that. Yeah, so I can confidently say now that the Ewe originates from ancient Hebrew. Ewe is not only spoken in Ghana, it is spoken in Togo, Benin, and Western Nigeria as well. In fact, Wikipedia in 2010 had said that Ewe is spoken by approximately 20 million people in West Africa. But according to Google Translate, which recently added 10 new languages from the sub-Saharan Africa, there are about 7 million speakers worldwide. That's a huge downtrend, downward leap. And I feel saddened with this, the reduction of in number of people who speak their language. And so if like Ewe is spoken in other countries in on the continent, we have a variety of these languages. We have the Tong, Anglo, Vedume, Aveno, and others in Ghana. These ones have great similarities. And then if we move into Togo and Benin and Nigeria, they have Fon, Ajagbe, and Gengbe, which are all another aspect of the Ewe. And so what it means is that we in Ghana, we are able to speak and understand each other. We understand one another. And then those in Togo, Benin, and Nigeria, when they also speak, they clearly understand one another. And the only way we are able to now understand those in Ghana and Togo is when we come to the writing systems. We have a writing system that all these countries accommodate. We all read and understand what we call the formal language. It is the dialects that are typical to these locations. So somebody from Togo may say something and I would not understand. I would have to dig deeper. But when somebody in Ghana, maybe from Ho or from Anglon or from Agave, so Gankope, when they speak, the dialectical differences may be there, but I'll still understand. So it's the Togolese and Benin and the Nigerians who also understand one another in spite of their dialectical differences. Yes. So, yeah, those are the varieties that we have.
Mm, that's interesting. And also in terms of the popularity of Ewe, we know that it's one of the languages that is sponsored by the government of Ghana. And so it's taught in schools and it's also used in the media. Can you tell us a bit about the popularity of the language in Ghana? Do you see people speaking it? Do you think that children are learning the language as you know it ought to be?
Well, that aspect is something that saddens my heart, because we have a language policy which says that children in the lower classes, basic school, should be taught in languages that they speak and understand, their native tongues. Unfortunately, the story is the other way around in many of our schools. Even at home, why would a parent decide to speak English to their child or speak another Ghanaian language to their child when father and mother are all Ewe people? And when you move to the churches in the cities, it is the same. You see a group of Ewe people gathered in the name of church and they speak English or another language, which doesn't promote the Ewe language. Currently, the GES has a curriculum. Unfortunately, there are no textbooks to teach Ewe language in any of our schools. And so teachers are finding it difficult to spend contact hours with the children when it's time for Ewe lessons. When it comes to the language being used in the media, we can only hear Ewe in the Volta region on the radios, and now there are a few TV stations. You can hear Ewe on those stations as well. But when you move to the urban centers outside of the Volta region, you hardly see a broadcast in the Ewe language. As a matter of fact, I used to work with a TV station and I was presenting in Ewe. I did my everything in Ewe. But one day, the owner of the channel just decided to scrap Ewe, Ga, Hausa, Nzima, and all of that, and only maintain Akan. And sarcastically, they wanted me to throw away Ewe and start doing Akan, because I speak fluent Akan as well. I had to quit that job because I didn't find any sense in me putting my language in the background and then promoting someone else's language. I wouldn't fault them so much, because our own people, we also do not help programs to come on air. I remember I had a program drafted. We went about looking for support to get airtime 1 hour. They had allowed us to start airing the program for at least a month, and after which, if we do not get sponsorship, they'll take it off. And true to their words, they took it off because we could not get sponsorship. People who should support the promotion of the language with finances, they are not there. You will go around, they will just applaud you, oh, this is beautiful, and then that's it. That ends the story. So many of the TV stations that used to do Ewe language, as TV Africa, Amansign Television, even Ghana Television now, Ewe News is only 10 minutes, and sometimes it doesn't come on at all. Their breakfast show in Ewe is supposed to be 1 hour, but now, I don't know, it's less than 30 minutes or so. There's adult education in Ewe on GTV. Sometimes it doesn't come at all. And you don't even get the personnel to use, because we really don't see the value of trying to promote something so important and yet doesn't bring you any financial benefits.
Wow, that means that we have a lot of work to do to promote our languages.
Definitely.
Let's talk a bit about your work as a language professional, as a translator for EVE. Can you speak a bit about where some of your clients come from, some of the subjects that you've had to translate on, and so on and so forth?
Okay. I think before I get into that, there are quite a few people who have taken it upon themselves to, even though they don't get anything out of it, for the love of the language, they are fighting so hard for it not to die. And there's one such organization called Nunya Foundation. They contribute out of their own pockets to buy EVE books and then distribute to basic schools in the Volta region. And I think in September, they are going to do same. They just select schools amongst themselves and then buy the books, go give to the schools. And I think I would also speak a little bit about a gentleman who has decided by his own self to write textbooks according to the GES curriculum for EVE.
And GES is the Ghana Education Service, right?
GES is the Ghana Education Service. This gentleman is going through a lot. He's actually a teacher in one of the local schools in the Volta region, very remote area. And because he teaches EVE, he loves the language, and the books are not there, he decided to look at what others have done for the English language and then do something that would match the requirements of the curriculum. He's still at work, he's still on it, and we pray that those books see the day of light, and it will go a long way to support the education, the Ghana education system, particularly in the teaching of the EVE language. Okay. There are also quite a number. Let me see. I think I made a list of them. Okay, maybe we have a question that will sort that out. So talking about myself as a language professional, I started my translation in the newsroom. We'll translate news stories and read them on air. That's how I started the translation. And when I decided to quit my job at the place where they said I should read tree news, I decided to put this as a business. So I get work from individuals. I get work from CDD, Center for Democratic Development, when they want to go on data collection. In 2012 was the first time I had my first contract with them. I translated their data documents for them. And then in 2016, they called me to join them on the field. I had worked with a Canadian company in 2008. I've forgotten the name. They went on data collection along the Volta Lake. And so I was interpreting for them. I was interpreting their questions for the locals. And I do people's biographies for them. I do people's... when somebody dies and you're doing a note on, what's it called?
Tribute.
Yes, tributes. I write tributes for people. Yeah. And I also translate for Christ Embassy, their monthly health proclamations. They have something that they say to themselves every morning, like to make the word come alive in their lives. They bring me the English and I translate for them. Currently, they are having a health magazine. They have it in English. So I'm part of the team that is translating for the magazine. And of course, your company, Bolingo, I'm glad I finally got to work with Bolingo. And there are projects that we may have to discuss. One of them being a language app, which is in the pipeline. We are writing books. We would like to partner with you. So we publish together.
Yeah, that's really great. I was just about to come to the technology part, so it's good that you spoke about it. And of course, we are open to having a collaboration, and because we want to really promote our languages. So concerning the technology, language learning, and our African languages, I realized that there are many initiatives for teaching the teaching African languages on the internet. There are many platforms, and there are also some, you know, technology now available, like, for instance, there are keyboards for some languages and all that. Do you think that we are doing a lot in that area? And when it comes to EVE, do you see more technology platforms that are available? And are there also, like, learning platforms for the language?
Yeah, I'd say that African languages are gradually getting there, because we didn't used to have any keyboards for any African language. But of recent, I see there's a keyboard for Kiswahili. Is there a keyboard for Kiswahili?
I think there should be, and there's one for Twi also. I've seen that recently.
Okay. The only problem is that the keyboards that we have are for the phone, Android. For the main computers, I haven't seen. Only that there are softwares that when you download, you're able to use the numeral keys to type some of the characters. So I would say that African languages and getting it popular on the internet, we are getting there, but we are not there yet. And our African tech gurus have a lot of work to do. By now, we should have a keyboard, because if China has keyboard, if, what's their name? Those in the United Arab Emirates, what's their language?
Is it Arabic?
Arabic. Arabic has keyboard. I don't know why our African technology, tech savvy guys cannot do something for our own languages. Once I was reading a story on Facebook, and I called out, like, I was literally wailing out that people should come to our aid, because using the English keyboard and translating a document on the computer is not easy. You have to do cut and paste. You have to look at the character. Sometimes you go on Wikipedia and you see some of the characters, the every characters, then you have to do cut and paste. It doesn't make the work go fast. It's a lot of stress, a lot of screen time spent. You're hurting your eyes, you're hurting your back and all of that. But if we had this direct, we could just have it easy. Well, but all in all, I'd say we are doing great. The EVE language now, I see so many initiatives, as you have said. People are doing a lot on Facebook. People are doing a lot on YouTube. People are doing, they are using all the platforms to promote EVE. What it means is that I think the awareness is dawning on us. People are gradually beginning to know that without the language, our very existence is being threatened. And so we have to do something to remain alive and active. And I would thank Akalan so much. I'll thank UNICEF so much, and for the great job that they're doing, because they're putting out a lot of money, a lot of resources to make sure the languages survive. Currently, I think we are planning for the 2023 event of the African Languages Week, and many programs are being outlined, and all of them we hope will be communicated in our various languages. We just need ourselves to come out, because Charlie, nobody will do it for us. Nobody will do it for us. We are the Africans. We own the language, and once the language dies, our cultures die with them. So even though we are lagging behind in a lot of things, the younger generation is trying so hard to pick up, and the older ones are there to support. So yeah, we'll get there, small, small.
Yeah, when you said Charlie, I was just laughing in the background. I was like, oh. Just yeah. So let's move a bit to talk about a related topic. So let's say, for instance, a client comes to you, and the client mm-hmm. wants to localize, a web platform, a social media platform into Embedbee. Is there a variety that you would recommend, a particular variety of the language that you would recommend for the client, and why?
For the Embedbee?
Yes.
If it will be audio, that will be difficult. But if it will be text, then there's only one that he can use, which is the standard Embedbee that cuts across all the speakers. We all understand the standard written language. So if there should be a web application or anything of the sort, it is the standardized language with the same writing systems that the Togolese understand, the Beninois understand, the Nigerian, the Ghanaian, all of us understand, that we can use for the web applications.
And if the client is targeting Ghana, then it should be Embedbee, right?
Yeah, if the client is targeting Ghana, it still has to be the standardized one.
I mean, in terms of audio, like you said, if it's audio, for instance.
Oh, in terms of audio, the Anglo and the Vedume are mixed. So these two are easily understood by everybody. So in terms of audio, it's a mixture of Anglo and Vedume. It is when the person is reading the text that you see whether that you will realize whether the person is speaking Anglo or Vedume. But when it is written, it is just the general text. Everybody sees what it is. It is my intonations that will determine what I'm reading to you. People prefer the Anglo tone. People prefer the mixture of the Anglo and the Vedume. And people prefer the Vedume. So I would recommend the mixture so everybody is represented.
Before we wrap up, I want to talk about a trend that I've noticed with the other people. That is, for those in Ghana, I noticed that a lot of their names are English names, like their first names, like Prosper, Wisdom, Forgive, Divine. Like, what's the history? Like, how did they come about selecting these particular very interesting names?
The names, huh? Well, our earlier discussion, I think the opening part of this discussion, I was trying to let you know that we are being connected to the Hebraic origin. So it means that the Embedbee people already knew who God was or who God is. So all of our names have something to do with God. And so this divine, the prosper, and what wisdom, it's a translation from the Embedbee to the English. These are Embedbee names translated to English. The excuse generally is that people do not understand the Embedbee name, so they just translate it to make it easy for the non-Embedbee speakers. Prosper, wisdom, like my name, Mutifafa, it means peace. You hear people called peace.
I've heard a lot.
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
You've heard a lot of peace.
Yes.
Okay, so it's just a translation, the translation into the English to make it easy for non-Embedbee speakers.
Okay.
I met an Uber driver recently who said his name is Refuge. And I said, the moment I saw the name, I said, this guy is an Ewe. So when I met him, I said, you are Ewe. He said, yes. I said, but what is the meaning of refuge? He said, Sichope. And I said, oh, so you don't like Sichope, you like refuge. Okay, that's your problem. It sounded so funny to me.
All right, we are wrapping up, and I want to just ask one final question. about the movie industry. We see a lot of movies that are being dubbed into some African languages, especially in Ghana also. Do you know of any that are being, you know, dubbed or localized for the Ewe language?
There are some Indian and Chinese and Philippines movies that are dubbed into the Ewe language. And, well, those who own it are making their money, but what about us? We also have beautiful stories that we can tell in our language for someone to dub into their language. Unfortunately, for somebody to consider making movies into the Ewe language, it takes a lot. It takes a lot because you cannot be guaranteed of making any profits. People like the productions. People like to watch, but they don't like to pay for it. We have beautiful stories. We have beautiful stories. But there are quite a few by Critique Productions. I watched one of his movies, Jigbeza, and it talks about the birth of the language, the birth of the Ewe language, and how if we do not take care of it, we would lose it. I hear there are others called Benigma, Amenakbo, Vogbeto, and all those ones. There are beautiful stories we can tell in our languages, except that the ways to market them, I don't know. People back home here on the continent, I'm not sure we want to patronize what our own people produce, but people in the diaspora are hungry and thirsty for things like this because they want to trace their roots and come back home. They are looking for every opportunity to just be able to read and understand the language, to be able to be entertained in their language. And so we have a lot of work to do here back home, a lot of work. I just want to tell our listeners that being able to flow in another's language doesn't mean you are exotic or anything important. It only means that you are like in the Akan Palance Bruni, where you are enjoying somebody's leftover dress clothing. What about the clothing that God himself made for you? So whether it is Ewe, whether it is Ga, whether it is Mampusi, Mamp, whatever language it is that God created you with, that is the language in which you think first. That is the language of creation in your mind. You use that language to create something. Otherwise, a Chinese youngster will not create a phone for us to be using. The Chinese teenager will not create something that we look at and say, oh, this is nice, this is valuable, when we are clamoring for it. If we think in our own languages, the spirit of the language will come alive in us and we would be able to create something that will benefit all mankind. Yeah, that's my final word.
Agbe, agbe, agbe. Thank you so much.
Thank you too. Thank you. I'm grateful.